Greetings, brethren, once again, and greetings to all those that may be tuning in. And so good to be back here in Columbia and worship and praise with my brothers and my sisters in Jesus Christ. The title of today's sermon is Yield to and Utilize the Spirit of God. That's yield to and utilize the Spirit of God. Out of curiosity, I recently went on the UCG website, and under sermons, I typed in the words Holy Spirit. I wanted to see how many messages that existed pertaining to this topic. I found out that there were around 331 messages under this topic. It was more messages given by speakers concerning the Holy Spirit than any other topic, more than love, more than salvation, even news and prophecy. Needless to say, there is something special about this spiritual empowerment from God, which makes us want to talk about it more and also receive more of this unique gift. Over the years, I've heard many brethren pray for more and more of the Spirit of God, including myself, at a rate that is probably too numerous to begin counting. And I believe that all of us would jump at the opportunity to receive more of this spiritual empowerment. Whenever we ask God for more of His Spirit, which I'm a firm believer that we all should and when we need to, do we take the moment to reflect on if we are yielding and utilizing what has already been given to us at baptism? And trust me, brethren, I'm looking in the mirror. Even here today on God's holy Sabbath day, we cannot truly, fully worship Him the way He desires unless we are utilizing the Spirit of God dwelling in each and every one of us. And let that sink in for a moment, and also for the remainder of this service, that we are in God's presence. We must utilize the Spirit of God in our praise and worship of Almighty King. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we are not yielding and utilizing the Spirit of God dwelling in us, then when we are putting ourselves in a dangerous place, brethren, the last thing that any of us would want to do is resist the Holy Spirit by not allowing it to have its perfect work, not allowing it to convict us or correct us and guide us and develop the very nature of God. Out of care and concern, I believe Stephen brought this to the attention of the Jewish council. He said, "You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And you know what Stephen got for telling the truth? He got stones thrown at him, one after another, until he fell asleep. Brethren, receiving the Holy Spirit does not immediately make us full of godly love or faithfulness. It doesn't help us immediately maintain a high degree of patience and self-discipline. Instead, one has to grow in these character traits of God by yielding to and utilizing His Spirit, the branches abiding in the true vine that is Jesus Christ. And you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but in the book of John, chapter 15 and verses 16, Jesus Christ told His disciples, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you. Brethren, you have been called and you have been chosen, but for what purpose?" Well, the remainder of that verse gives us the answer, that you should go and bear fruit, spiritual fruit, brethren, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give to you. Bearing fruit is what makes all of us usable in the hands of our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Would it be wise, would it be in God's best interest to give a person more and more of this holy, life-changing, transformative, spiritual empowerment if no effort was being made to grow spiritually and develop the character of Christ? No, brethren, that would make no sense at all. Come with me to the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. That's Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. I believe there is a warning and most certainly the wisest of counsel within the parable of the 10 talents, because it illustrates how each of us must continue to utilize and grow spiritually. Now, before we go through this parable, let me first and foremost say that I'm not insinuating by any means that God gives one person more or less of His Spirit at baptism. I just want to make that clear. That's way above my pay grade. However, I would like for us to pay close attention to the spiritual principle that is outlined in this parable. That is the utilizing and the bearing of fruit. Verse 14, Jesus Christ begins this parable by saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Who is this man? None other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he called his own servants, the saints of God, brethren, past, present, and future. And he delivered his goods to them." What goods? Well, brethren, his Holy Spirit. "And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." So we see here that each servant was given a measure according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Drop down to verse 16. "Then he who had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with them, and he made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also." Now what we have here are 2 faithful servants, 2 branches, if you will, who abided in Christ and Christ in them, and the results were yielded fruit. They have grown in grace, they have grown in knowledge, and left the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Dropping down to verse 25, we find yet another servant who hid his master's talents in the ground. And you know the sad part about this particular servant is that he had God's spirit but failed to yield and utilize it to bear any fruit. The yield was 0. There was no harvest there to be gathered, nothing but thorns and thistles and tares. No regard, no sense of urgency to develop God's righteous character. So what happened next? His master said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed." Verse 27 says, "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own interest." Brother, when we examine our walk with our Master and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is he gaining interest on what he has deposited within us? That's a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Verse 28, the Master said, "Take the talent away from him." Now, it's not hard to read between the lines here, brethren. I recall this being a concern of King David, or he would not have prayed in Psalms chapter 51, verse 11. "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me," because David knew that anyone that did not have the Spirit of Christ is not his. And you know, if there was ever a come to Jesus moment, then this certainly would be one, in my opinion, to come to the sudden realization that I could have received the reward just like the other 2 faithful servants did, but because I knowingly, intentionally failed to utilize the Holy Spirit, what I once had now been taken away. And we all know that anyone that does not have the Spirit of Christ, once again, brethren, is not his. Matthew 25 and verse 29 says, "For to everyone who has more, more will be given." Look at God's promise here, brethren. More will be given, and he will have an abundance. Now, this promise by God is like medicine to the soul, because the trials that we go through in this life can and most certainly will get more challenging and more difficult. But as we yield to and utilize the Holy Spirit, we can go boldly before the throne of grace and ask God for more of his Spirit. Because we have refrained from taking something that God gave, which is holy, and refrained from using it, failing to use it for its intended purpose. Now, brethren, if I could, I'd like to focus on another important aspect of utilizing the Spirit of God. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "It is written, man," that's you and I, brethren, "should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, how does this relate to utilizing the Spirit of God? Well, this verse instructs the believer that we should all be living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there's something that is so incredible about the Word of God. If we go over to John, the 6th chapter and verse 63, that's John, the 6th chapter and verse 63, we notice that God's words are not just mere words. It says, "The Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing." But now zone in on the next 9 words. "The words that I speak to you are spirit." The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So have a knowledge of this valuable information, that the Word of God is spirit, and that we must live by these words. we began to understand that we could not just rely on that physical bread, that physical Mr. C's chicken that is so good in this life, but we have to eat the word of God. Remember what God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 1. He said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Eat my words. And then go speak to the house of Israel." And so Ezekiel, he opened up his mouth and God caused him to eat that scroll. Notice it says that God caused him to eat that scroll. That's the same thing he would do to us, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not cause us to eat his words when we open, if we don't not open our mouths, but we must open our mouths and yield our hearts and our mind. Verses 3 of Ezekiel chapter 3. And God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give to you. Not only eat it and swallow it, but digest it and use it for sustenance to do my perfect will." And notice what Ezekiel wrote next. "So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness." You know, this is the same thing that King David expressed in Psalms 119 and 103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Brethren, have you tasted the sweetness of the word of God? Is it like honey in your mouth? And if it doesn't taste as sweet as it did to David or Ezekiel, we have to ask ourselves, have we allowed the word of God to lose flavor in our lives by not stirring up the spirit that dwells in each and every one of us, so that that inward man or that woman is being renewed day by day? This is a valid question we all have to ask ourselves. Eating the word of God is one of the key essentials to utilizing the spirit of God. Now, brethren, if you begin to look back on some of the things that you have had to overcome in your life, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but I would bet that you will find that God indeed has given you more of his spirit already. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says, "God, he gives power to the weak." Have you ever been spiritually weak, brethren, in an area of your life? Perhaps sin was lying at the door, and that desire or that way of thinking that normally you would have given into 3 out of 3 times, you were able to overcome because you yielded completely to the Spirit of God. You didn't depend on your own strength, but you instead gave God your yielded mind, your yielded heart. And God gave you a spiritual empowerment from heaven. To those who have no might, brethren, he increases strength. And the good news is that God will continue to do so, brethren, if we are utilizing what he has already given us. God, if anyone, knows exactly what we need. You know, none of us were there to watch the one who became Jesus Christ in action as he formed man from the dust of the ground and he began to breathe his breath into the man's nostrils and man became a living soul. But yet this is how good our God is. He has removed the blinders so that you may see with your own eyes a new creation where a new one man or a new woman is being formed within you, making you just like our elder brother Jesus Christ. And brethren, God has taken us to a point in history where he will not give us only more of his spirit, but if we yield to and utilize the spirit of God, he will bring us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you know what, brethren? To me, that sounds like the spirit without measure. And that is something we all can look forward to.